Hello, fellow listeners. Trish Lewis here. Let's take our seat on the eclectic chair. This week, we're going to have the Reverend Sean Amos pull out the chair with his song, The Girl Is Heavy, from his CD, Tells It. And then, lucky us, we have an almost live in Studio C interview with him on the phone. I think you're going to like the Reverend Sean. He's very cool. He even said that he'd perform the ceremony if I ever decide to tie the knot. Take your seats. Seated on the eclectic chair, I'm your host, Trish Lewis, and I'm lucky enough to be on the phone with the Reverend himself, Sean Amos. Now, Sean, you come from quite the background. I really didn't know much about you because I live under a rock up here, and everybody knows that, so it's okay. Your dad has the cookies, famous Amos, Wally
yeah,
Amos.
Music man to cookie man.
And yes, and your mom was the late great Shirley May. And she was wonderful. I have one of my favorite covers of her song is Southern Culture on the Skids doing Nitty Gritty. I love that song, and I love her too. So today, when I was doing research last night and this morning, I was really stunned at how great your mom was. I mean, and I presume she is your biggest reason for being behind. Now I've forgotten the name of the organization.
I do a lot of work with a mental health organization here in Los Angeles called Dee Dee Hirsch, and suffered from mental illness, and she took her life in 2003, and so it's part of my history and part of my story, and so I can't ignore it, so I've embraced it, and do my part to erase that stigma and get people to talk openly about that stuff, whether they have it themselves or whether they've got family members who have it.
It's in my family as well. I understand. That's why I don't think a thing about saying anything. And there, now I can read my notes. I see Dee Dee Hirsch. I did read quite a bit. I hear you're listening to all kinds of stuff, but you like Saint Paul and the Broken Bones, I saw. I really like them too.
They're amazing, aren't they?
Yeah.
I've had my head up, for the blues past for so long, listening to all this, old 50s and 60s Chicago stuff as we've been doing our shows, and I have to force myself to make sure I'm, searching out stuff that's current, and I came across those guys, and God, they're just, I'd love to open up for them. They're just amazing.
Yeah, I found them on NPR, and I technically produce another program called Silk Soul and Blue. And that was one of her requests, was find her a copy of St. Paul and the Broken Bones. So, but now she's going to want you too. I know Kimberly is the host of Silk Soul and Blue. So was your dad musical as well?
No, he's not musical. He plays kazoo. That's being musical, but I think I disagree. But he was surrounded by his agent, William Morris, back in the 60s. And booked all the Motown acts and Solomon Burke and some British Invasion bands. And so... he was surrounded by music and certainly had an ear for music, but did not play it himself.
And you got to meet a lot of people, and that's how you became so enamored with, you've worked with all kinds of people, the late, great Solomon Burke. I'm going to play Solomon Burke. I'm going to play all kinds of people that influenced you or you've influenced yourself. Who else are you listening to? Who else do you love to listen to?
Oh, man, like I said, I've been listening to so much old stuff lately because I just feel like I'm sort of hearing it for the first time again. So, a lot of Chicago blues, Junior Wells in particular, and Little Walter. And then on the other end of the spectrum, I love Jack White's new record. He is a great blues record, and he's got the heart of a blues guy and really is keeping that spirit alive, even though one might not, on the surface, consider a straight-up blues record, but I just love it. I love the Black Keys.
Yeah, well, I don't think Jack White could possibly be straight-up anything, could he? I mean, I don't think he'd ever want to be.
Yeah, no, totally. People get too rigid about these definitions anyway. If it makes your body move and makes your heart sing, then that's what counts, So, I'm always, trying. I got a 13-year-old daughter who listens to a lot of stuff, so she helps me, stay current as well and sort of fills in some of the cracks that I might be missing. But, as of late, it's those guys, and now St. Paul and Broken Bones, great. It's a bit of an older record now, but I still love the Alabama Shakes record.
Yeah.
Which is just still, I was actually at a rehearsal yesterday with my band where we wrote some new songs I wrote and sort of pulled that up as a little bit of inspiration for them. So, there's no shortage of good music everywhere. Even in L.A. where I live, there's just some great local blues bands, Dennis Jones, amazing blues guitarist, guy that has a sort of power trio blues thing that's dynamite, and I've got a guy named Barry Big B Brenner who I book a room out here in L.A. I book some blues, and so it keeps me in touch with a lot of sort of newer artists and sort of local blues bands too. So I'm surrounded by good music. We all are.
I'm sorry I don't have a copy of your initial CD, and I understand that you were actually a folkie as well. I'd like to hear some of that stuff too. Like, come on, there's like this twist of blues and folk, and think of Eric Bibb or Solomon Burke even.
Yeah, that's right. I did the Americana thing for a while. I made two real straight up Americana records. One's album called Harlem, and the other one called In Between. And it was, I was sort of in some ways looking to avoid the blues. I felt like it was almost too stereotypical or something. And I was really self-conscious about being pegged as a blues singer. I think it had to do with just my, it's still a lot of deeper identity and stuff and hang-ups I was having. So I made a real conscious effort to go as far from that musically as I could think, even though they were basically blues songs. They were just dressed up differently in some clothing. And then I made a record in 2005 called Thank You, Shirley May, which my mom wrote. And they were sort of just my imaginings of what her life must have been like before I was born, and when she was sort of, hanging in the 60s in New York and meeting my father and sort of, building her career. So they're all originals. And it was a really cathartic record, and it really, it was sort of, in many respects, me just grieving, in public. So, so I did that, and then I just sort of, I got to tell you that that record sort of took it out of me. It took it out of me emotionally, and it was one of the sort of classic, commercial and critically successful records. It didn't sell a lot of copies, and it sort of, it was made with a broken heart, and in some respects, it kind of gave me a broken heart, and so I just sort of stopped, and I produced some other folks. I produced Dirty Dozen Brass Band, and I did a few records with Solomon Burke, and was happy producing, but sort of didn't make my own music. And then I, in April of last year, I got invited to go to Italy to sing some blues. And I sort of resisted at first, and then I said, okay. And I went there, and I got to tell you, my heart just opened up. I felt my mother, I felt Solomon, I felt all these people who I had seen growing up and grew up with, like my father. And I just felt them all literally flowing through me. And I just realized, like, why have I not been seeing this music? Why have I been running from myself, in a lot of ways? And so I just, at that moment, said, this is it, I'm home. And I gotta play and sing this music for as long as I can. So came back to L.A. And put a band together, and we've just been rolling ever since. And so this EP is really the result. It's the first step in that blues journey that I'm on, that I'm dedicated myself to.
Well, I sure hope you do another one soon, because I'm going to be burning these six songs for a long time.
Definitely. And we're hoping to go in the, we're planning to go in the studio, if not the end of this year or early next year, and just got about an album's worth of material together. The two original songs on the EP were really the first two songs I wrote for this project, and they've been coming out ever since. So we've got a good batch of originals that we've been playing live, but we got to go to the studio and get them committed to tape, and we'll definitely get a full length out next year, I have no doubt. There was very little design to this. Like I said, I went to Italy and did these gigs, came back, kind of got the whole week host in me, and then started playing in LA, and we just got asked to play places, a mix of clubs and private events and, a few summer stage things here in LA. And so from July of last year, really through, the early part of this year, we were just kept busy by people asking us to play and hadn't even thought about getting out of LA. And then did the record, and now we're starting to get some support from folks like you. And so it's only now that I'm realizing, oh, hell, we got to get on the road. we're starting to make some plans to get out of our backyard and move east a little bit. But no dates booked, but they're coming soon. Yeah, it's really, I'm hoping that we sort of missed summer for this year, but the hope and the plan is that we can get on some bills next summer, some blues festivals, and spread the word. The live shows really were, we had a great live show, and I really just love playing live, and people have been really, as much as people have been responding to the recordings, which I'm grateful for, the live shows that people sort of seem to go through the roof. And so we're excited to bring it points east, including Michigan.
I looked last night and I looked this morning. I couldn't find out why you are named the Reverend.
You know what? It came about back in Italy. I was a certain kind of performer when I was doing the Americana thing. And I was very, in some respects, kind of an uncomfortable performer, because the songs I was singing were so concessional and came from such a personal place that I never quite figured out how to reconcile that with playing live. And so I was a different kind of performer. When I went to Italy, I literally was channeling. Something just sort of woke up inside of me, and I became a very different kind of performer. And now it's quite literally preaching to this audience in Italy. And so by the time we got done with these gigs, the folks just started calling me the Reverend Sean Amos. I said, and it stuck. And it stuck. I came back, and that's when people started calling me the Rev. And it was in response to the live thing, sort of what sort of happens to me when I play live. And so I thought, if they're going to call me the Reverend, I better be a Reverend. So I became a Reverend through the Universal Life Church. I'm technically a Reverend, although maybe far from a man's cloth.
Well, if I ever decide to get married, you can marry me, right?
I'm your man.
I'll call you up, Rev. I'll call you up. So you have a daughter. You have a son as well, right?
I've got three kids. I have a 13-year-old girl who sings, and she's singing to me on occasion. Got a beautiful voice, and it looks a lot like my mother, and sounds like my mother. Kind of a trip. And then I've got a boy who's about to be 9, and I mean, a little girl who's 5. So.
Yeah, I saw the picture of the little boy. You were camping. I saw, was that Twitter?
Yeah.
Very cute. Very, very adorable. He looks like you, too.
Yeah, thanks. It's funny. I grew up, like a lot of folks, my age, late 40s, and sort of latchkey kids and broken homes, and to be a father of three, and not being married, man, is a kind of a trip. So I catch myself all the time, like I sort of didn't end up a casualty, but I'm grateful for the family I got.
That's beautiful. You're really a lot of fun. I hope you get to come and be live in Studio C sometime, or even almost live, like we're recording now. And I appreciate you. We're recording this on Father's Day 2014. I really, really appreciate your time.
Thank you. I really appreciate the support. This is like I said, it's pouring from the heart, and it's a thing I'm dedicating myself to. And so I really appreciate you spread the word, spread the music. I hope people dig it, because it comes from a place of love.
Cool. I really have enjoyed talking to you. Thank you so much. If you are just tuning in, that was the Reverend Sean Amos. His new CD is called Tells It. It's really an EP, 6 songs. We'll hear a couple more from that. Let's hear Good Morning, Schoolgirl, and Sometimes I Wonder.
Good morning, little school girl. Good morning, little school girl.
Seated on the eclectic chair, I'm your host, Trish Lewis. That was the Reverend Sean Amos. The CD is Tells It. It's an EP, really. Sometimes I Wonder was Sean's own music. And we heard the John Lee Williamson song, Good Morning, Schoolgirl. And we pulled out the chair today with The Girl Is Heavy, another Sean Amos tune. The Reverend Sean Amos Tells It. It's a 2014 self-release. He was very interesting and a lot of fun to interview. I hope you enjoyed that. You can always find it, a link to the podcast, thanks to Bob Hausler, on my website, radiochair.com. Now, let's hear a few of the people that influenced Sean Amos. First off, Solomon Burke, because none of us are free.
Sisters and brothers, 'cause if you do, you can hear their voices still calling across the years. And they're all crying across the ocean, and they're crying across the land, and they will till we all come to understand. None of us are free. None of us are free. None of us are free, one of us are chained. None of us are free. And there are people still in darkness, and they just can't see the light. If you don't say it's wrong, then that says it's right. We got to try to feel for each other. Let our brothers know that we care. Got to get the message, send it out loud and clear. None of us are free. None of us are free. None of us are free. One of us are chained. None of us are free. It's a single truth we all need, just to hear and to see. None of us are free. Salvation isn't too hard to find. None of us can find it on our own. We got to join together in spirit, heart, and mind, so that every soul who's suffering will know. Cause the world is getting smaller each passing day.
Passing day.
Now it's time to start making changes, and it's time for us all to realize that the truth is shining bright right before our eyes. None of us are free. None of us are free. None of us are free. One of us is chained. None of us are free.
New She pawned my diamond ring. She pulled the sun out of the shaker. She didn't leave me with the doggone thing.
Find me a job, my friend. Money's tight. right home across this land. You think they even got a chance? And by the way, my friend, how in the world have you been? Tell me what's out. I wanna know what's in. What's the deal, my brother? What's happening? What's happening, my brother?
We'll be right back.
We're seated on the eclectic chair. I'm your host, Trish Lewis. That was the Dirty Dozen Brass Band, and it was one of the CDs that the Reverend Sean Amos actually helped produce. The CD is What's Going On. It's a 2006 Shout Factory record release. They were great songs. I really like that last instrumental. I'll have to remember that for future use. That song was right on. And we heard the Dirty Dozen Brass Band with Betty Levette, What's Happening, Brother? And we heard Solomon Burke with the Blind Boys of Alabama, None of Us Are Free. And we heard Otis Rush, I Got the Blues. They both came from a 2003 Putumayo World Music release. Putumayo Presents American Blues. Otis Rush, I Got the Blues, Solomon Burke's classic, None of Us Are Free. You may find the link to any artist you hear on the Eclectic Chair on my website, radiochair.com. Now let's hear a couple more that the Reverend Sean Amos mentioned. Let's hear a couple from Junior Wells, because I often wonder, why are people like that?
You take your love and your money, they take your sugar and your honey, they'll take your skinny or fat. Why people like that? They take your house and your home, they take the flesh from your bone, they take the shirt off your back. Why people like that? Take your phone in your closet, take everything that you got, they'll laugh behind your back. Why people like that? Take your love and your money, they take your sugar and your honey, they take your skinny or fat. Why people like that? They take your phone or your clock, they take everything that you got, they take the shirt off your back. Why people like that? They'll take your dog and your car, they'll promise you'll be a star, they'll break your heart and leave you flat. Why people like that? like that. Wild people like that. Don't be like that.
Hey, Junior.
Yeah, man.
Well, that monkey you had in that cage.
Man, my gal wanted to sell him. Let me tell you all about it. Me and my baby keep falling out. But let me tell you, Evan, here's what it's all about. She wanna sell my monkey.
Oh, my.
She wanna sell my monkey. She wanna sell my monkey. But that will never do.
You better get hip to yourself, man.
It used to be hers, but she gave it to me. Why she wanna sell it, I just can't see. She wanna sell my monkey. She wanna sell my monkey. She wanna sell my monkey. But that will never do. She's doing me wrong. She wanna sell my monkey.
Oh no.
She wanna sell my monkey. She wanna sell my monkey. That will never do.
This time I wanna give you some advice.
Yeah, man.
Listen here, Junior. If I was you, I'd make a bag, steal, and borrow it, and bring it on home to you. Then she wouldn't have to sell your monkey.
Oh, I see.
No, boy, I wouldn't let her sell it.
Are you sure? I just don't see it that way.
Now, if it was me, I would never do.
Oh, hush up, Alvin, and play your guitar, man.
Take a ride with me. Chopping on wood, I got eight slapping pistons right here under my hood. That's right. I met my baby in a used car lot. A drinking cheap wine and a throwing rocks. Magic on. Chopping on wood, I got feet slapping pistons right here under my hood. Let's ride.
You guys know the routine. I just hate to turn that song down right away. That is Song of the Open Road behind me, and it's Jenny Shinman on violin and the unmistakable Bill Frisell on guitar on Jenny Shinman's CD 12 Songs a 2005 Crypto Gramophone record release. She has a new one out. I hope to see it across my desk someday. We heard Voodoo Cadillac from Southern Culture on the Skids. I thought Sean would like that one better than, but you know, I think next hour I may very well play the Scots cover of Nitty Gritty, because it's a great song. It's a great cover of that song. Jenny Shinman, Song in the Open Road, 2005 Crypto Gramophone. Voodoo Cadillac was the song we heard prior to this. Dirt Track Date, a 1995 Geffen recording. I'm pulling out some dusty ones today. Even dustier, but oh so wonderful, a 1995 Telarc release called Come On in This House. Junior Wells with some great people. We heard She Wants to Sell My Monkey with Alvin Youngblood Hart. And Tab Benoit is on that too. And Junior Wells, Why Are People Like That? Really, why are they? And that was Sonny Landreth and Derek Trucks on guitar with him. Yeah, he gave me some great ideas for this show. Thank you, Reverend Sean Amos. You may find the link to any artist you hear on the Eclectic Chair on my website, radiochair.com. Now, remain seated. There's a whole nother hour of whatever this is, and probably a lot more pop next hour. I promise. Remain seated.